Well, hello, church. It's an honor to be here today to speak and to even have the opportunity to speak here today. It's God is so good from where I came from. Some of you wouldn't believe it. I know some of you know my testimony, but I see all my friends and my brothers and sisters in Christ, and Teen Challenge is in the house today. Hallelujah. That's a great testimony, by the way, Xavier. It's awesome. Man, we're blessed and privileged in America. You know, I was just thinking about that when I was sitting here. We're so blessed and privileged to be able to have a place to come like this, aren't we? To be in the house of the Lord and to be in His presence. It's amazing what He does. And not be persecuted. We're not being persecuted. We ain't got to worry about somebody being out there going to take us and put us in prison or something, right? America still has freedom of religion. And we don't know how long that's going to last with some of the things that are going on, but thank God we have it now. Hallelujah. Man, He's awesome. I'd say we just stand up right now and worship Him about this. Can everybody stand up? I just want to pray because a little bit nervous starting out, you know. It's normal. I'm okay, though. But I can tell you this right now. That last song, Defender, this is how God does things. That last song, this is about my message today. Pretty much the whole song was. You know, God knows where the pieces are in your life that you've lost, right? We've lost pieces and hurts and sin and all the things that's happened. And He's the one that puts them back together, but He does it as you worship, right? That's what that song said, right? And that's exactly what this message overall is going to be talking about today. So this is how God does things. So I know, without a shadow of a doubt, He's in this today, and He gave me this word to speak. I didn't talk to you guys. I didn't say a word to you guys. And you said you had trouble. Danielle said she couldn't even hardly sing it. She wasn't even sure about doing it. So I know it was from God. So let's just pray, everybody. Father, I just thank You. First of all, I want to lift up the people that are in harm's way and the families that lost loved ones in Florida and Georgia. Lord, it was a massive storm. And Lord, I just pray that You give them peace through all this. You somehow give them peace and understanding that You're in everything, even in the storm. You're not necessarily in the death. You're not in the death of what happened, Lord. But through this, You're going to use it. And I know there's going to be people saved and delivered in that area from this. There's going to be family members saved because of what happened. And Lord, I pray that today, we know that in Your word it tells us we're not to neglect fellowship together with one another, and we are to encourage one another all the more as we see the day of the Lord drawing near. And Lord, I know that You're coming, and we know there's signs all around us. But Lord, I thank You for being in this place today. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit being in this place. And Lord, I just give my body up as a sacrifice, and I want to be a vessel that You can use today, that this message, this word that You've given, Lord, that it penetrates the hearts and minds of everyone in this place. And I thank You, Lord, and I praise You for what You're doing in each and every life in this place. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So a couple of weeks ago, Jimmy was talking about stepping out of your comfort zone, and Xavier even brought it up today. God wants to take all His people out of their comfort zone, because that's where we grow. That's when we grow. That's how we grow. Listen, my comfort zone's behind them drums. It's not standing right here. I don't want to, like, first time pastor asked me to speak, I'm like, you sure? You know, I didn't, this is not comfortable for me. But know this, as you seek Him, as you worship, as you know, as you learn Him, as you learn who He is through this word, as you learn who He is, He's going to take you out your comfort zone. But you got to act. You got to do it. You got to step in it, right? And Pastor Lance, you spoke about changing. By the way, where is Jimmy at? Is he not here today? No? Anyway. Last week, Pastor Lance spoke about changing our mindset and having a new nature, right? You speaked about that last week. And the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, they were saved from Egypt. I always say this too, Pastor, but they weren't free. You know, I was saved at one point. I know I was saved, but I wasn't free. That's it. So today I'm going to speak a little bit on how God, through his son Jesus, has made a way for the Spirit to make us whole, right? That's what we're after. Sure, and you know, the message has been coming that we trust him. Well, do we? You know what I'm saying? This is where we got to go. We got to learn to trust him, right? I didn't have my Bible open, excuse me. So, when Jesus was on this earth, during his 3 years of ministry, he healed many. He healed as many as he could, like until he was exhausted and almost falling down. He had to get away from them, right? Somewhere in the Bible it says that he healed them all. Like they come to him, flocking to him, and he healed all of them. That's amazing, isn't it? However, the times Jesus says in the Bible, he says, your faith has made you whole. Or your faith has made you well. There's only three passages that translates into the word whole. Three passages. And we're gonna deal with those today. We're gonna go through them passages a little bit today. And you know, I shortened it up a little bit because there's a lot there. There's so much about being whole in the Bible, about what God wants. There's a blueprint about being whole. We're going to start out in Matthew. Everybody got their Bibles? Chapter 9, verse 20 and 22. Just three verses right there. And when Jesus was on his way to raise a young person from the dead in this scripture, in this passage. And he was interrupted. These three small verses in the Bible. There's so much here, but I'm not going to unpack it all. I'm just using an example with this. So verse 20, Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, it says, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made whole. Well, wow, that's pretty powerful, huh? She already knows. She's got so much faith already that she just knows if she just touches him, she's going to be healed. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour, from that very hour. And what I see in that, so, well, also I looked it up in the Greek and in Strong's, it also means saved. It means, and salvation is a whole, is body, soul, and spirit, right? God wants to do all those things. Well, I believe she got healed immediately with her physical body right there. The Bible doesn't talk about it. But I can tell you this, I know, like she'd seen him perform miracles time after time, I guarantee you, to get the faith that she had to know Jesus a little bit, to have that faith, that kind of faith, to know if she just touched him, that she was going to get healed, right? And I believe, the Bible doesn't say it, but I believe she started to follow him. And I believe as she followed him, as she worshiped him, as she praised him, she became whole. Jesus knew she had the faith. See, it takes the faith to go down that journey. I'm going to show you in another scripture here in a little bit why I think that. To go down that journey to be whole. It's not instant. Now, he could do it instantly. God can do anything he wants to do in this place. That's not how he does it on this earth. That's not how he does it. And I used to think that. I thought, well, he must have a wand up there. He must be able to just zap it. If I go to this revival, I'm going to get up there and I'm gonna get healed and I'm going to be whole. I'm going to go home whole. That ain't what I experienced. You know, I'm going to leave that right there. So that ain't how I've experienced getting whole. I'm still on that victory. I'm still on that road, right? Each and every one of us are. I don't know, there might be some perfect people in here, Pastor. Huh? I'm not. Huh? No, I'm still going down that road, man. But I'm a lot better off today than I was 5 years and 3 months ago when I came to Teen Challenge. God's done some things, Pastor. I'm going to get to some of that, but I want to just move on to Mark chapter 10, verse 46. So this is another story where Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Okay, so I just want to read this before I say anything about it. Everybody all right? Am I too loud? I don't even need this mic, you guys, you know. Pretty loud dude. Ask them guys. Anyway. So, I'm going to pick this up. Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. So, verse 46. Everybody got that? Everybody there? Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son, I love this. I just love this. I've heard it preached many times, but I just love this passage. Son of Timaeus sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him. Many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more louder. Folks, we got to cry out all the more louder. We got to cry out all the more louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. Well, that got me right there. He commanded him to be called. Jesus called him. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you. Bam, that stuck out in my brain right there. I'm gonna come back to it. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni. Did I pronounce that right? Rabboni, I may receive my sight. That I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. That's the scripture right there that I can tell you that's what I believe in these three incidents, that they followed him after that. It said he followed him on the road. He continued to find out who he was, what he meant to him, how he could take care of the things that went on in his life, the hurts in his life. Not just healed his blind eyes. That's great too. What I believe is that's saying he saved him. Because I know he did me. I was blind and now I see, right? That's what happened to Bartimaeus, but he wasn't whole yet. But the Bible says he followed him along the road. And as he followed him along the road and worshiped him and bowed down to his knees and got on his face before him, he was made whole. And he had the faith to do it, right? That's what the Bible told me. That's what it says. That's what I believe. I got to touch this once in a while, Pastor. I keep, you know, I'm all right. I'm not going to mess it up this time. Last time my computer went down, I had nothing. So the Lord just had to take over. So look at verse 48. But he cried out all the more loud. That's I already said something about that. We got to cry out all the more loud. Verse 49 says, rise, he's calling me. And Jesus is calling us. He called all of us. We wouldn't be here if he didn't. Many are called, but few are chosen, right? I want to be chosen. Huh? I think it's when we follow him, we worship him, we get on our face, we learn about him, we become chosen. That's what I believe. That's just me. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but that's what I believe. So don't take me up on that. You study that out. Verse 50. This was really interesting to me. And throwing aside his garment. So the act of throwing aside the garment is important in this. I believe when Jesus calls us, he asks us to throw off all our old lives, everything about our mindset. Huh? He wants us to change our mindset by the washing of the word, right? Remember that, Pastor? Huh? Little water puddle in there, and we're inside there. That's how it happens in this word. This is Jesus, guys. This is Jesus. Hallelujah. Or anything that might keep us from serving him wholeheartedly. It's almost symbolic of giving your giving over completely to the Lord, right? He's been my Savior. You know, for a long time, he was just my Savior. The last couple years, man, he's my Lord. He's my Lord. I had to make him my Lord. And how did I do that? Because I got serious with him. I didn't just go through the rituals of being a Christian. I didn't just come to church on Sunday, Wednesday, sorry. I started to come to prayer on Wednesday night and pour out my spirit, pour out myself upon the Lord, get on my knees, speak to him, have conversation with him, have a dialogue with God, right? That's how it started changing, how it really started changing. Yes, some things happened before that. I'm not going to say it didn't. There was a lot of things that happened. The sin that so easily beset me, I didn't have that going on. You know, the drugs and the things that I was doing. But, man, lately, he's changing. He's been breaking things off the last couple of years, Pastor. And he does it as you worship. It's like the song says. He knows where your pieces are at. And he's going to find them and put you back together. He knows where you lost your pieces, guys. In other words, making him Lord. So I ran my own life. And like I said, I called him Savior. But he changed me for the good. He's been changing me for the good ever since. And I want to go to this. I want to just throwing away aside his garment. I got a scripture I want to go to. But I'm doing it in the NLT because I like the way it said it. But you guys can go there. It's Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. I like the way the NLT says it for this particular message. So, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily besets us or trips us up. Huh? I don't want to be tripped no more, do you? I'm tired of falling down. But when I fall now, I get back up because I know who Jesus is. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. It's verse 2. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. We don't perfect our faith. He does. All we do is fall at his feet, learn about him, come to church where pastors are teaching us, you know, absorb that word and apply that word, right? Apply that word. We don't just hear it. Are we going home and just like putting this thing away? Setting it on the shelf, not hearing from it till next Sunday? Or are we reading it? Are we taking some notes when the pastor's preaching? Are we taking that home and studying it out? Because God gives him a message every week, right? And it's for us. It's for all of us. So I think we need to take it more seriously. That's what God's been telling me. We need to take this more seriously because Jesus is coming. And there's people out there that you can reach and only you can reach. You got to get out your comfort zone. Sorry. I'm passionate about this. Lord, give me this word. Help me, Jesus. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated on the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, from us, from the ones that are around him. But think about what we did. We were his enemy until we asked him to come in our life, right? Always. When you do that, when you think of all the hostility that he endured from sinful people, from us, then you won't become weary and give up. And look, you don't lose till you give up. You don't lose unless you give up, right? I'm not going to give up anymore. I spent a lot of my life giving up, right? So this is where we're throwing off anything that we have relied on, including material possessions. I don't care about my material possessions anymore. God gives me things, and that's great. He said he's going to add all things unto you, right? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and I will add all things unto you. And that's what he's done in my life over the last few years. And I just thank him and praise him for it. It's nothing I did. All I did was obeyed, believed. That's it. Hallelujah. Material possessions, because we thought they were somehow essential to our lives or for our lives, right? We still do sometimes. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do without my phone? Oh, what am I going to do? What? Oh. Ooh. What am I going to do without my phone? What am I going to do without my TV series, huh? What am I going to do? I can't miss that. In the life of the beggar, his cloak probably was essential as a beggar. You know what I'm saying? Kept him warm when he was out there trying to get money. And for many reasons. But Jesus came along. He's no longer a beggar, right? He's a child of the king now. He's following him around figuring out how to fix this thing. Because he's broken, right? Verse 52. It says that immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Down the road is what I said. On the road, down the road, he followed him. And to me, that's him pursuing sanctification. He's pursuing sanctification at that point. And I know you all know what sanctification is, and it hurts. Sanctification hurts sometimes. But guess what? We need to do it with overflowing thankfulness. And that's another scripture I'm gonna read right now. It's also from the NLT. I just like the way these come out that way. But it's Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Everybody there? And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Verse 7 says, let your roots grow down deep into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught. And then you will overflow with thankfulness, right? When people see you overflowing with thankfulness, and positive attitudes around the church or even in the world. When they see that on you, man, it rubs off. They're like, what's going on with that dude? Why is he so thankful? Why is he so grateful? Why is he so happy? Something wrong with him. No, it's Jesus in us, man. We choose that, though. We can choose to be a bump on a log. We can choose not to be happy. We can choose not to be thankful. I spent so many years just complaining, man. Complaining about everything. Mr. Complainer. Anyway, so Luke, the next passage is Luke 17. It's 11 through 19. So I'm going to read this about the lepers being cleansed. I did a little studying up a little bit on leprosy and what that meant in the Old Testament and all the way through to the New Testament where Jesus was on the earth. And it's a type and shadow. It's almost like an equal to sin. Like if you start looking at it, it's the effects of sin. Like when you see the different things that happen in the body. I'm going to read this first before I start there. So, now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. He was on his way to Jerusalem. I don't know if this was this the last time he was going, Pastor Sonny? Wasn't this his last time he was heading to Jerusalem? He said, as he went. So he did a bunch in between that before he went to the cross, right? He was trying to show more and more people that the kingdom has come, right? And it came in Jesus, and it was going to come in his spirit later on, right? Then he entered a certain village. There he met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You notice what's happening here? Every passage that I'm going to, Jesus, have mercy on us. And they know he's deity. They know he's deity already. They already know because they've seen, I don't know where they've seen him at, but maybe they've seen him, the leper in chapter 5 back there, maybe they've seen him get close to him and he actually touched that leper. They're like, man, he'll get close. He's a God of closeness. He'll come close to you no matter how bad you are, no matter how messed up you are. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. He never said that before to heal somebody. Never said it before. It's the first time he said that. He said, as you go. So he was the high priest standing right there in front of him. And he was sending them to the priest in the temple, right? To me, that's like Jesus going, that's the old covenant that I'm sending you to. I'm the new covenant, standing right in front of you. And when I die on that cross and I shed my blood, the perfect lamb that sheds his blood for us, the new covenant's going to come in. And Hebrews says it's a much better one. Isn't it? It's so good. He's living with us now. We don't have to go run him down. We don't have to follow him on the road. We still have to follow him, right? But he's right here in the pages. He's right here with us. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. Where are you taking me today? That wasn't planned, so. He's trying to get me off this again. He wants me to just do it. So, where was I at? So go show yourself to the priest. And it was as they went that they were cleansed. As they went, right? As we come to the temple of God, we're cleansed. As we come every day, as we get a word from our pastors, as we seek the Lord, as we go to prayer nights, and we get on our face and we have dialogue with God, as we come, He's healing us, right? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. And with a loud voice, he glorified. A loud voice, right? What's wrong with us sometimes in the church? What's wrong with me? Why ain't I lifting him up for all he's done for me? This guy seen that he was healed and he came back, right? And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, right? He wasn't even a Jew. He wasn't even like, he was a foreigner. So Jesus answered and he said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except the foreigner? Right? So what's happening in the church? I'm not saying this church. I'm not going to talk, I'm not saying that. But man, we got people that are foreigners that come and give God all the glory, and they know who God is, and the church has trouble standing up and worshiping him. I'm sorry that I'm going here, Pastor, but I just feel like the Lord's taking me right here, and I'm preaching to myself too. I'm not just preaching to whoever's hearing this, whoever's listening to this. So where there was not, can't cleanse. So, and he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. That also means saved and whole. That's another place where it means whole. And again, that man has seen him do things before too. He's already knows. So I started thinking about this. I said, that man come back and worship God with a loud voice. What's leper worship? Leper worship is this. It's not the worship that you're worshiping him for what he's done or what he's doing. It's because you're worshiping him for who he is. That is leper worship. I'm not worshiping because I got a car, I got a new car, I got a place to live. I'm worshiping because of who he is. He's deity. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's my Savior and my Master, right? That's why I worship him. But I'm preaching to myself too. Because it was a year and a half, 2 years ago when I really started getting serious with God. And I've been on this road since I came to Terre Haute for over 5 years now. So I'm just telling you what I've discovered. That's what I'm trying to do here today, everybody. And it's serious, man. Like, sometimes I just felt like I was just coming here. I was just playing the drums and, I was worshiping God on my drums. But I was just filling a seat, man, a lot of times. I didn't even hear what the pastor said a lot of times. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that was a message that was given from God to him. So it's important that we listen to what God's saying, and he speaks through our pastors. We got to take that serious. So in sin, in leprosy, I just want to kind of go over that. In leprosy, man, it starts out really small. They said like a dot in the eye sometimes. Very small. Then it comes a dot on your hand. And then when it gets into serious mode, it starts taking your nose, your ears. Things fall off. And that's the message today. That's what God was telling me to say, just like the defender. He knows where your pieces are because we lose them. We're losing them. In leprosy, pieces fell off and they had to bury them. They literally were losing arms and ears and noses. But you know what? The first thing that goes in a leper is feeling. And when we're in sin, what's one of the first thing that goes? Feeling, right? Because we have no feeling. We start to lose any feeling for anybody or anything. All we want is what we want, right? And we're going to have it no matter what. We're going to have it no matter what. And we lose that feeling, and then we start to lose our families. We start to lose our wives and our husbands and our sanity. We start to lose so much, so much. And look, I'm kind of like putting leprosy and sin together here because that's what the Bible does. And when you research it out, it's so close together and gives you an example of what sin does in our lives. But Jesus is wanting to put that back together again, man. You know, so I was God formed. All of us were, right? Sin deformed us, right? This word informs us, yeah? Jesus and the Holy Spirit transforms us, huh? Transforms us. And I'm standing here before you, a transformed human being, and I'm still in transformation. I'm still coming, Lord. Lord, I know I don't measure up. I don't add up all the time. But here I am, Lord. Use me. That's where I'm at right now. Use me, Lord. And when I see that, this is kind of the name of the message. This is the title that he gave me like 2 weeks ago. I've been fighting with him, you know, like, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? And I've waited all this time to say this. You don't have to look like what you've been through. None of you have to look like what you've been through. Because God's going to pick up those pieces. He knows where they are. He knows where you lost them. Wherever you lost them at, wherever your hurts are from, if you've been sexually abused, if you went through divorce, if you went through angry people, you know, that hurt you, that abused you, that gave you all this fear and shame and guilt that you have in your life, God wants to heal you right now. He wants to take care of that. And I don't know if he's going to do it today, but I can tell you this, if you go down the road with him and you take this with you, and you learn about him, and you get on your face before him, he's going to start to see it, and you're going to start to see it. Amen. I didn't know I was going this far from some of this. It's the Holy Spirit. I can't do this without him. To praise and glorify God, you don't have to look like what you've been through. I love that. I heard that one time, and I just stuck to my craw, and I said, man, this is exactly what this message is about. So to praise and glorify God, I talked about leper worship earlier, right? So, and we know what leper worship is. It's loud, it's obnoxious, and it's crazy, right? Because we know who he is. Right? It's not what he does for us. It's who he is. Amen? Jesus in that, he notices and heals hurts and brokenness in that, right? It's not even noticed by others. A lot of the hurts and brokenness in people, we don't notice it. We have no clue. But he does. He knows who you are. He knows where you left that limb. He knows where you left that toe. He knows where you left that leg, that ear. He knows exactly where you left that stuff. And guess what? He'll run and get it and bring it back to you as you lay at his feet. He's going to put you back together again. That's exactly what Defender is. But you got to get serious. You got to get serious with him. As he's thankful, and when he gets prostrate at Jesus' feet, the leper recognizes that it's God at work, right? That God's at work all the time. It's like that. What song was it? Waymaker was going on today. God's always working, even when we don't see him. So, you know, the songs today was exactly what this message is about. It's just amazing how he does that, isn't it, Pastor? Wow. I'm at awe at my Father. So Jesus notices and heals hurts and brokenness. that is not noticed by others. When we are thankful to Jesus, we glorify him. And we glorify God when we're thankful to Jesus, right? This is the manifestation of faith that makes us well. That's what God gave me right there. That's the manifestation of faith that makes us well. When we glorify God. And how do we do that? We're on our knees. The song, Defender. We're on our knees. We're worshiping him. We're glorifying him. We're yelling it. We're screaming it at him. He loves that stuff. He can't resist leper worship. God can't resist it. He can't resist it. He's going to come see it. He's going to take it. He's going to take it and he's going to do something with it. He can't resist leper worship. Whew. Thank you. So the ones who are scorned and unlovely and unclean and treated poorly because of the way they look, maybe, to the world, Jesus clearly notices those people, right? He notices you. He noticed me. He noticed every one of you, right? When we were out there. That's what he calls us to do too, guys. He calls us to love, clearly notices and loves them. He calls us to do the same, right? So this man, this leper that came back to Jesus and was made whole, he had a double marginalized life. Think about it. He was a foreigner and he was a leper. Nobody wanted to be around him. He lost his family. He lost his friends. He lost his brothers, his sisters. And they had to accumulate all these lepers in one little place, most of them. They had their own little places that where they lived. And they were in the dark, man, digging around and trying to survive any way they could. That's what we do when we're in sin, when we're out there doing something crazy. We're trying to survive. And we're doing nothing. We're doing nothing to survive. We're just making it worse. We're just digging a hole. We're digging a grave for ourselves. And I truly believe because of that double marginalized life, that I believe that was the reason for his deeper level of gratitude that he had towards God, towards Jesus right then, right? He who is forgiven much loves much. And I've been forgiven a whole bunch. I don't know about you guys, but I've been forgiven a whole lot. And I thank God he's forgiven me. I was going to go, Nebuchadnezzar. How do we get there, though? Sometimes we have to go through some trials and tests, right? We all do, right? And when you're getting on your feet and you're on your hands and knees and you're worshiping God and you're asking him to change you, guess what you get? Fire. Fire that changes you, right? The tests that change you. The fire that changes you. And I was going to read this whole thing, but it's too much. But Nebuchadnezzar said, heat it up seven times hotter, right? Heat it up seven times hotter. I'm talking about Daniel 3. Let's go there. I'm just going to read a few of the scriptures. He said, heat it up hotter. Up hotter, he said. So we know all about that story, probably most of us has heard it a bunch of times, where a decree went out and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to bow before an idol god, and they wouldn't do it. So what they did was they bound them. They bound them, and Nebuchadnezzar said, make it seven times hotter, and they bound them, with ropes, and they fell into the furnace, the Bible says. And while they were in there, I'm just going to start in verse 26 instead of the whole thing, because you guys can go back and read it if you don't know that story. It's awesome. We'll start with 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, Did we not cast three men bound and into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose." The fire is going to loose us. We got to go through the fire sometimes, guys. We got to go through the fire. We got to go through the trials and tests. But that's what looses us, right? That's what the Bible's talking about here. I see that. So walking in the midst of the fire, they're loose. They're just walking around, man, loose in the midst of the fire. And they're not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar. Not really, though. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of that fire, free, unbound, right? And I think I missed a scripture. The fourth is like the Son of God. Did I miss that? No. So, what I got from this, let me just finish it. And the straps administers, the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose body the fire had no power, right? The fire had no power. Not a hair on their head was singed. Nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. So you can go through the fire without getting hair singed, right? You can go through the fire without smelling like smoke. I just want you all just to turn to your neighbor and smell it. You don't smell as, and just say this to them, you don't smell as much like smoke as you used to. I think God's healing you. He's doing something. Because you don't smell like the smoke that you used to. He's healing you. He's delivering you. He's setting you free. Because you're making it important. You're making this thing important. Because he is. He's so important. I'm going to go maybe two more places. I'm about done here. It didn't go the way I thought it was, but the Lord was with me the whole way through this. Changed everything while I was preaching, pretty much, you know. So, go to Mark 5, 1 through 20. And this, his name was Legion. That's what I got in my mind. It's like, his name was Legion. I wasn't going to read this either. I was just going to go through it. I was just going to, how much time did I got? Man, I'm taking a lot of time up here. I probably need to close it up, huh? So I'm going to right now. I'm not going to read this whole thing. I was going to read all 20 verses. It's an amazing story. You got to read it. You got to read it. But what do you want, God? What do you want me to say since I'm not reading it? So they called him Legion. Jesus, as he came to the Gadarenes, As he came to the Gadarenes, this man that had been in a cave, possessed by the devil, they bound him and put him in this cave, and he broke the ropes. And they couldn't even bind him with a chain. He was so possessed. He picked up rocks and he cut himself with them. And he was so crazy possessed. But when Jesus, when deity shows up, deity and demons can't exist in the same place. That's what he wanted me to tell you. Deity and demons cannot exist in the same place. And that man ran to Jesus and fell on his feet, on his face. Where does it say that? When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. Here we go again. What's he doing? He's running and worshiped him. And you guys know what a legion is? It's a measurement of a Roman force. It's 6,000. 6,000. This man had 6,000 demons in him, yet it didn't stop him. He ran to Jesus and worshiped him with 6,000 demons in him. What is your problem? What is my problem? What is my problem? 6,000 demons, and he made it. He ran to him and he laid on his face before him because he wanted to be free. And that's what I'm here to tell you today. If you want to be free, that's how it is. If you want to be whole, there's so much more, but that's where I'm going to stop. You want to be free today? Can we play that song, man? Can we play that? Do you have it? This song, it followed everything. Like it was exactly what I wanted to say. Jesus is finding your parts. He knows where you lost them. He knows where you lost them. He's going to get them. But you got to get on your face, man. You got to start worshiping him. You got to start getting to know him, truly knowing him, not just hearing a message and then going home and then throwing your Bible up on the thing, you know. Can you turn it up a little bit? I want the words to be heard. You've
even gone to win my war.
Thank you, Jesus.
You come back with.
So can we just worship? Can we just stand up and start to worship him? And listen to the words to this song, because it's so powerful.
And you call.
Crank it up.
My victory.
Thank you. Worship him, church. Worship him, church. Thank you. You know, if there's anybody here that needs prayer, I'm here, pastors are here, there's prayer warriors here. If there's anything that we can do, we're here. But guess what? I'm not Jesus. I can't do it for you. I can't heal you, man. I'm not powerful enough to heal you. Only he can. You have to go to him. You have to. The altars are opened up. You want to come to him today. But you know, you have an altar in your house, in your room, in your closet. You have an altar wherever you can go. You don't have to come to an altar at a church to seek Jesus. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this place. Even if we don't see anything happening, can we just raise our hands and start to thank Jesus for what he's done in the past? Can we raise our hands, please? Can we raise our hands? Everyone, surrender. All of us. Please. Please, Lord. Have mercy on my soul, Lord. King Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. I need you, Lord. I want you more than I ever have. I need you, Father. Guys, when you surrender to him, he's going to begin to take things, put them back in their place. He's going to restore your relationships. He's going to restore the shame and the guilt that you have in your life. He's going to take it from you. And he's going to add something to you. And it's always good when he adds something to us. It's always good. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We worship you for who you are. Not what you can do. Not what you can do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
He is a transformative God. He transforms the broken. There's a place we got to come to. Our defender. The thing what has to happen is Steve brought out some great stuff today. The transformative power of God. That all we have to do is fall on our face, die to ourselves. I mean, die to ourselves. There's a place we got to come to in our heart. There's a place we got to come to in our spirit. There's a place we got to come to. God can't do that. We have to do that. We have to come to that place in our heart. We cannot hold back the things that we think we need to hold on to. Maybe it's those old friends, those old habits. There's a place we got to come to be transformed. I don't care who you are in this place. Me, myself included, I need to die every day. I need to die every day. I've talked to people. I've spoke with people that want to change their life. They want God to do something in their life. And they won't surrender. They want God in a bottle. They want him in this genie in the bottle. Do something for me, God. Do something for me. Oh, I'm going through this sickness. My family's going through this stuff, but I never surrender. I never lay my life down. I never lay my face on the ground before God. And we got to get to a place of surrender. We got to get to a place. We go through all these problems in our lives and marriages, but we do nothing about it. God, help me. But then we never lay ourselves down. We never surrender our own life. I went to a meeting, and this is all going to tie in. I went to a meeting It's Friday night up at Life of Love Fellowship Church in Martinsville, and Pastor Todd Smith was up there, and he was talking about a testimony. You guys can be seated. And I'm not going to be very long, because we've got to have a baptism today. This is the highlight of what God wants to do today. Transformation. If she wants to get ready, where's she at? Oh, she's ready. There she is. People we meet every day. Addicts that come to church. Broken people come to church. This lady, if you see in the back of the pews, you'll see an envelope to put your offering in. She began to write, and this Todd was at some church, I don't know where it was at, Nebraska or somewhere, and she began to write on that envelope. Each one of us here have stuff going on in our life. Everyone in the world that we come in contact with has stuff going on in their life. And she began to pin down this thing. The top thing was PTSD. Porn addiction. Abused. Molested. And the list goes on and on. Hurt. Anger. The list goes on and on and on. And at the end of the service, Todd was sitting down praying for a lady. And this lady came up and sat beside him. And when she did, she handed him this envelope. She said, God can never heal me. And as he reads through this envelope, this is the life of people in our community. This is the life of the people in our families. This stuff that's going on inside their spirit, and we can't transform them. But we know one that can. Todd said this to her. He said, I can pray for you, but I'm not the healer. Just as Steve said, I can pray for you. I can give you everything I have, but I am not the healer. But I know someone that is. I know someone that can do it for you. And it is Jesus Christ himself. We come in contact with people that need to be transformed day in and day out. And we don't know their story. And I don't know your story. But what I do know is you fall on your face. You surrender to the Lord. You got to surrender. If you want God to move in your life, you got to surrender. And he is a transformative God. He transforms. I'm just seeing lives right here. Across this room, he is a transformative God that transforms lives. And we're going to see a young lady, Kiara, going to get into the baptismal. And we're going to hear from her. But transformative God. Because I can't wait to see what God is going to do in your life. I can't wait to see from this point on what God does in you. As he's done in me and everyone else. That God transforms us. He makes a new song out of us. Sonny, you want to come up here? Sonny got to meet with Kiara. And so I haven't. I just got to meet with her Saturday night at our prom. And then Sunday morning she came in. And so... Sonny got the privilege of spending some time with her, so I'll let you go.
Yeah. Kiara, you want to come on up? And Sean, you want to help get the baptistry ready? And so I'm just going to ask Kiara a couple questions, and which I've already asked her. We've talked about this and so forth. But Kiara, first of all, why do you want to get baptized?
Sorry, I'm so nervous.
It's okay.
Well, to make a new beginning and do it right this time, and to make Jesus my Lord and Savior.
Okay, amen. So what else is there, right? Make Jesus Lord of your life, make it right, and go from there. Amen. And so you know Christ is in your life, right? And you know that he's saved you, and he's living in you, and we've also talked. There's been some transformation already taking place. That was one of her questions. How do you know that you're a Christian? And she said, is it when you realize you're beginning to change and change for the good? Well, absolutely. That's the grace of God. That's the power of God working in a life. Amen. And so, Kiara, we have the privilege of baptizing you today. And so, if you will, we'll go over here and get in the water.
I don't know much about Kiera. I know that Keith told me he was going to Florida to see his girlfriend. And he said, I might stay. And Keith's life is changing, and the Lord is just all over him, and I just love to see what God is doing in his life. And I know there's some guys that are mentoring Keith and talking with him and showing him who God is. And he comes back, and the next thing I know that Kiera was going to come back. Kiera seen something in Keith that was different than he was before. And that's a life changed. If there's anyone else that would like to be baptized, we have scrubs here. We can get you in the water. Transformation. Just the whole purpose of Christ coming into the earth was to redeem his people. Redeem his people from the curse that happened in the garden. All the way for 4,000 years, God was trying to get Jesus into the earth so the new covenant could happen and we could be redeemed by not slaughtering all the bulls and goats and lambs, but the one and perfect lamb that came into the earth to walk it out, the sinless man in the earth. And he goes to the cross and laid his life down for us, that we were once sinners are now saved by his grace. Father God, I thank you today. I give you glory and honor today, Father, for all that you're doing, that you are a transformative God. You are a transformative God, that you transform us even from our sin nature. But not only in a sin nature, is when we fumble, or we fumble the ball when we're walking out your life, Lord, when we're walking out the life that you have for us and we fumble the ball, you still are a transformative God. You bring us back into the place. You bring us back into the place of redemption, of being set free, to walk back out in our calling. You are a redemptive God. He's a redemptive God, Adrian.
Yes, he is.
Father God, I thank you for these people in this room, and I thank you for what you're doing today. Father, I pray right now you begin to stir up some stuff in Adrian right now. Redemption. Redemption. Transformation, oh God. We can fumble the ball, but we can pick it right back up again, God. And we're still running on the same field you've called us to. The same calling you've called us to. Nothing has changed in our life. Nothing has changed except you transforming our life, and our decisions and our obedience begin to change differently. Father, we thank you for the fire. We thank you for the fire that when we're bound, we're cast into the fire. There's things that happen in our life that cause us to draw us closer to you. Not for temptation, but for the purity of the gospel in us, in Jesus. Father, I just thank you right now, Father, for all you're doing. In your mighty name. In Jesus' name I pray. Adrian, would you like to speak? I caught him off guard, put it that way. But this is all about transformation and lives changed.
I'm going to add it to you.
Amen, guys. I know a lot of you guys know me. You haven't seen me for a while. But, you know, first and foremost, I want to give glory to God. He's been changing me. It's been a hard process, but I ended up preaching that word. And I have to apologize to you guys as a church, because that word I was preaching is what I was going through. I felt like giving up. I was going through a rough time. And there was things in my life that weren't lined up to the will of God in my life. And I was in compromise in a lot of different areas of my life. And I went to one of my sister's quinceañeras, and long story short, I ended up drinking. I ended up drinking, right? I'm in a ministry role. I'm held to a higher position and all these things. And I apologize to these guys. I became a Pharisee. I was living a Pharisee life. I was living a life, you know, being one picture in front of people, and then behind the scenes, I'm doing some things I shouldn't be doing, and I was struggling. And I'll be honest with you guys, I was losing my first love, which was Jesus, and I was being disobedient in a lot of areas. But God, He has a way of humbling us, amen, and that's what He's taking through. Amen, and I'm thankful for it. I rejoice because my soul's not going to hell. He's saving me, amen. But I ended up drinking, and you know, by the grace of God, I didn't get no DUI. I didn't do something stupid. You know what I mean? I mean, it was stupid drinking, obviously. It was really stupid. But, you know, God had grace on my life, and I know He loves me. And what the enemy tried to take from me was my identity in Christ. My identity in Christ. I forgot who I was. He tried to take it when my sister passed away. I stopped practicing my spiritual disciplines. He was asking me to do some hard things, and God's going to ask you to do some hard things. And He's God. He's our master. We can't say no. Partial disobedience is disobedience. Period. Point blank. The enemy, he was trying to take my identity, and I forgot who I was. But he didn't have victory. Mm-mm. He may thought he had victory. Hey, but God takes what the enemy meant for evil, and He uses it for good. And so God's growing me through this situation. He's teaching me different things that He wants to take out of the old me, and we're constantly transformed, being renewed, and being made into the image of Christ, whatever way that may be. And I listened to a sermon by Tony Evans. I don't remember what it was called. But, you know, when we don't listen to God, God loves us. He'll correct us. Believe that. And I've been getting corrected a lot. Amen. But when I relapsed, I went back into Teen Challenge. You know, I drank. And then a week later, God woke me up straight in the morning. I sat straight up out of bed. Boom. And God was like, heard clearly, pray against temptation to drink. And I said, okay. I prayed. I began to pray. But I didn't press in. You know, it was a half-hearted prayer. It wasn't really what I should do. And so I went about my day that night. I went and got a six-pack. I drank. The next day, I'm like, I'm not doing that again. I got to get back right, man. And went and failed again after, you know, got done doing what I was doing, drank again. That night I went to the bar, and I'm in there talking about Jesus in the bar, bro. I'm like, what is this? You know what I mean? Drunk. No, son. He said, son, we're going to have to humble you. And I left the bar, and I ended up, you know, hitting somebody's weed pen or something like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing here? And you know, whatever was going on, I know that night God was protecting me, because I can't even really remember bits and pieces, not to glorify that lifestyle or glorify drinking or anything. But I say all that to say this, is that the next morning, I got up in the morning, and I was supposed to do something work-related, and I ended up not being able to do it because I had just been out the night before. And I got up, and I was like, you know what, I can make an excuse, I could keep running, and I know where this leads. And that's for somebody in here today. That's what I just heard the Holy Spirit speak, is that, you know where that path leads. And if you keep going in it, it's going to be harder and harder, and the crushing is going to be harder too. And so humble yourself now. Come to the Lord now, like Steve was saying. He knows where the pieces are, and He wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. And that morning when I woke up, I heard Big A knocking on my door, boom, boom, boom. Louis, you in there? Because I had to leave my car downtown. I got an Uber home. And he's knocking on the door, and I'm like, you know, I can make an excuse up or something. Like, I was like, no, I can't run. I can't run. I'm done running, dude. I can't. I don't have no excuse. I need help. I need to go back into Teen Challenge. So that's what I'm doing right now. Back in Teen Challenge, getting back to the roots, and getting back to my identity in Christ. Is it a humbling experience? Yes. Did the enemy try to fight me coming here today? Yes. I did not even want to walk in the building. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was like, oh. But that was the pride. You know what I mean? That was, you know, me not wanting to deal with the hurt and the pain that comes along with this, the humbling. But it feels good now that it's done. And God's good. He gets all the glory.
Logan, if you make your way up to the guitar. Now listen to this. Listen to this. He's bound, okay? Even though he's still walking through Teen Challenge, he was bound. The Bible says when we want to turn to God, what do? We confess our sins. It's not repent right off the bat. We have to confess our sins. And until you could do that, no, I didn't tell anybody in here that what was going on. And so it was for you to tell. It's not for me to confess your sins. You've got to confess your own sins as you come to that humble place. Because we see the calling that's in you. We know the calling that's in you. You have a gifting. It's major. But you got to walk it out. You can't say, God, here I am. Do it for me. God, I got to walk the steps out. I got to walk those things out. Even when I prophesied over the little boy Friday night, he's got a calling of worship in his heart. He's got a calling that God has on his life, but if he does not walk it out, if he does not begin to raise his voice, that calling will just sit there and stay idle. Each one of us have a calling in our life that you need to walk out and start walking it out. When God has prophesied over you and spoke over you, you got to make the move to walk in it. Otherwise, that calling stays idle and it doesn't move. The restoration happens because you surrender. You surrender and God begins to move. It might not be next year. It might not be the year after. But I'm going to tell you what, it might be 10 years and all of a sudden God moves you into that place. You got to be faithful in those moments, those dry times and those dry seasons for God to move in your life. I know I've walked it out. Walk it out. And God is faithful and just and he will do what he's called to do.